Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Welcome back in, hour number two here on a Thursday morning. Hopefully everybody's doing well out there. Thanks for spending some time with us here on NoCo Now. I am Tanner Schwint. Ryan Kelly doing the production work for us. I've been warning you guys all week that I'm going to have a couple of lawyers in here. And like I said, you know the feeling when you're not the smartest person in the room. That's what it's feeling like right now. Joining us now for this weekly thing that we're going to be doing of Ask a Lawyer, it is Taylor Myers with TaylorMade Legal Services. Taylor, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us. And then Havila Luis Bruno Lilly.
Yes.
Yes.
So many names.
So many names with Bruno Lilly Legal. And I'll give the information out for how you can contact these two ladies. But this kind of came about. I thought it was interesting. I met Taylor at a networking group, and you know, instantly I had like 9 million questions because thankfully so far in my life I have not been involved in a whole lot of legal trouble.
That's good.
It is good. And I haven't had to be in either of your offices saying, hey, I need some help. That could change. That's a disclaimer. But before we get going, do you want to we do need to put a legal disclaimer out there. Just because of any of the advice you're about to hear in the next couple of minutes does not make you one of their clients, correct? Yeah, unpaid clients are not good.
They are not good.
Unpaid clients are not good, so we just have to let everyone know listening that this in no way creates a client-attorney relationship, and no warranties or representations given in relation to this are to be taken as legal advice.
Perfect. Yeah.
Basically, don't act on our legal advice. Go see another lawyer if you hear something that you're like, oh, I want to do that.
Or come see us.
After you do it. Yeah. Yes. After. But the first thing you're going to have is, oh, you told me I could. No, we won't get into that. But I want to get to know you guys a little bit more before we dive into this. Havila, we'll start with you. How did you start to get into law? What was it that you're like, you know what? I want to be a lawyer. Did you watch too much NCIS and all of that stuff growing up?
Or, you know, I'm old enough now that Law and Order.
Law and Order was the one.
All right. You know, I was at a time in my life where I either had to be an accountant or do what I really wanted to do. And so I went to law school because I was like, I can't do this accounting stuff.
Was law school as bad as what everybody makes it out to be?
It's pretty terrible.
Is it? Yeah. I figured it would be because that was actually one of the things that I wanted to do growing up was be a lawyer. But I hate school. So I was like, I don't think I want to go do that. I did. I like to argue. So I did the next best thing and be a radio show host that pisses everybody off. So that's where I went. But you guys took the time and went. So how long have you been practicing law now?
Oh, geez. 2014. So,
seven years.
You know, the joke is lawyers can't do math. So I don't know. You tell me.
It's seven years. Radio guys can't either, but I can handle that one. And so what brought you to Northern Colorado?
So I grew up in Boulder County. We're not too far away. And then I got an internship up here with the Weld County District Attorney's Office. And then I became a prosecutor for a few years. So, you know, this has been kind of my legal home and I've just stayed.
Yeah. All right. How was your time at the DA's office?
You know, it was good.
It was
a good learning experience.
I would imagine so. Taylor, how about you? You're from Eaton, right, originally?
I am. Go Reds.
So there you go. I don't know how I feel about that being said in here, but that's all right. I guess that's okay. Coming from Plant Valley, I don't know about that. But how did you decide, you know, I wanted to go be a lawyer?
Well, I like pissing people off, too.
Yeah?
I think we all have that in common. And, you know, my family is all really smart. Cousins work for NASA, Microsoft. And I was like, I hate math as well. And I got in some trouble in high school.
Did you?
Believe it or not. I did. And I was like, well, I need to figure out if I'm not going to be good at math, I need to figure out how to get other people out of trouble as well. So
let me sum that up. Really, what you said there was you didn't want to be the disappointment of the family, so you figured you had to go be a lawyer.
Correct.
Okay. I thought that was how I got a texter here. Knock it off, Tanner. Your blood is red. You have Eaton inside of you. Come on now. I respect the Eaton Reds. But so how did your journey go for you? Where did you start out and how long have you been practicing now?
Sure. So I went to CU for undergrad and then decided I needed to get out. So went up to Oregon for law school, but ended up having to, you know, just coming back. I also did an internship at the DA's office and then decided I wanted to be here full time, and I've been this. I'm going into my fourth year now practicing, and so I
taking it
the same thing, just here, and this is my home now, and yeah.
I like it. Okay, so we're going to try and get rid of some of these myths that are around this. And this is one. I know we talked about it a little bit before. We said, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's do it. And I'm still, I don't know if it's a great idea to be putting you two in a room together with mics in front of you. But
no, probably not.
Probably not. But so one of the things that I've always thought is, you know, when you're getting read your rights, right? If you do not have a lawyer, one will be appointed to you. That has this common misconception that those lawyers are the bottom of the barrel lawyers that come along with it, right? I mean, that's what you, because if you can't pay those, some of those quote unquote high powered, expensive lawyers, that's not necessarily the case, correct?
That is not the case.
I'm going to jump in. I had this conversation at a marketing event last night that the public defenders, at least here, are some of the best attorneys I have ever seen and known, and they work harder than any attorney I know, and they know a lot because they see so many defendants. I don't know if you want to speak to that.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that I always tell people who come into my office with sort of that thought is, you know, at least here in Colorado, in Weld County, there's at least a Harvard grad over there that's working for the public defender's office. They know this system as well as anybody that you're going to pay. Probably better.
Yeah, I thought that's always interesting on what type of, because right. I mean, you think it's the newbie lawyers coming up that haven't had that's kind of the misconception there. But I thought that was fascinating as well, because I think a lot of people think like that. But the amount of cases, like you said, that these public defenders see is just astronomical that they go through, because there's a short. Is it safe to say there's a shortage of public defenders out there? Or there is that reasonable to say?
Yes, and district attorneys. So deputy district attorneys are also in short supply. But yeah, so they have shortages all over.
Well, we're talking again. This is Ask a Lawyer. So if you've got some questions, you can shoot them in. I'll have them read them first before we talk about them on air for legal purposes. 888-530-0043. The other question that I instantly asked Taylor at this networking group was, when you have a client that the flags are pretty pointing to the that they're guilty, right? And you do win the case. How do you live with yourselves? Is just the blunt way of putting that. And outside of alcohol, how do you live with yourselves when you think that you did just free possibly a guilty person?
Well, there's no outside of alcohol.
No, like, okay, it's just alcohol. Okay, that's a reasonable, real answer too. But I mean, have you had a couple of these cases where you're like, okay, that person was probably guilty, but I've got to do my job. That's what it is.
Look, at the end of the day, our system would fall apart without it being in place, right? Without the system, you would have anarchy. You would have the Salem witch trials. So our responsibility is not just to our clients who may or may not be guilty, but it's to everybody to make sure that your rights are advocated for, that our Constitution is upheld. The government has a burden for a reason. It's so that innocent people don't go to jail just because somebody in power doesn't like them. It's not a perfect system, but that's what we're here to do. So if one person that we suspect is guilty is found not guilty, that's better for the sake of society.
I like that. That's very well put. And I think that's something that outside of the courtroom, you know, because hopefully a lot of the listeners out there haven't spent a whole lot of time inside of a courtroom that people don't understand. All right. Next question for you guys here. When it comes into those times where you guys are, you know, talking to the jury, when these jury trials that go in front of people, how do you, public speaking is a big role of that. How do you guys, did you guys train for that? Did you take public speaking courses in high school and college? How does that go about? Because you see these big representations on TV shows and movies. My favorite movie is A Few Good Men. I love the courtroom scene in there where you can't handle the truth, right? How do you guys go about that? How do you train yourselves for that?
Just practice. And I mean, that's why I was, when you and I met and we talked about this, I first said, no way, because I hate public speaking, but I love being a lawyer. So it's something I have to get used to all the time. I'm not good at it. My first jury trial as an intern, my hands never stopped shaking the whole time. And they were probably like, wow, this girl has no idea what she's doing. But I guess for me, you just get used to it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I do think you get used to it. There's another common sort of joke in the industry that trial lawyers are failed actors and actresses. So we all kind of wanted to be that way, but we failed at it. So here we are presenting a case to a jury.
So if you weren't a lawyer, you'd be on like the Days of Our Lives or some soap opera like that.
Yeah, I mean, like if I were so lucky, right?
So do you like? I mean, do you like the trial juries? I mean, do you jury trials? I should say, do you like getting in front of those people and presenting the case in that way?
People who do this work, that's what you live for.
Yep.
That's like your Super Bowl, huh? That's
yes.
Like you're going in front. I like that. Now, is there specific lines that you guys will pull back out? Like if you use in one trial, will you use it again? Is there, and you don't, I mean, this is a trick to the craft. I get that. But is there something that you would use again?
Yes,
but you can't air all our secrets.
Okay, all right. So I don't
That's what you pay me for.
All right, there you go. All right, I want to take a break. When we come back on the other side, some more questions. Load them up, 888-530-0043. We're also going to talk about, is there any legal ways if you did lose some livestock to a wolf or something like that? That's been our topic of conversation today. We'll keep it going. It's Ask a Lawyer. We got Taylor Myers and Havila Bruno Lilly in here with us. I forgot the Luis. I apologize. With us here today. We'll be back on the other side of Snoco Now, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I feel like I need to do the monologue now that they normally do when they come in. Welcome in. It is Ask a Lawyer here on NOCO Now, of course, presented by the J9 Agencies. I am Tanner Schwint. Joining me in the studio is Taylor Myers with Taylor Made Legal Services, as well as Havila Luis Bruno Lilly with Bruno Lilly Legal. Thanks, everybody, for being with us this morning. So we'll keep loading those questions up here. We've got a couple of them. You can text in 888-530-0043. I want to start first, like I said, our topic of conversation today that's kind of been dominating is this reintroduction of wolves into Colorado. We've seen a loss of a calf earlier this year, about 3 weeks ago. There was a dog that was killed by wolves just a week ago now. And I ask this question, I pose this to you guys now. What legal actions could somebody take, could a rancher take for the loss of livestock from these wolves that are being reintroduced from a ballot measure? Is there anything that people can do?
So I think realistically right now, the people need to be reaching out to their representative and going back to the legislature. In terms of trying to figure out who would be responsible for that loss of life and trying to take legal action, I think that poses a whole host of complicated questions, particularly if that's being introduced by a government agency. They have immunity to a certain extent. So I think we need to be looking at doing something similar to what we have with coyotes, where you can kill a coyote that's going after your livestock. So they need to be going back to their representative and asking for those exceptions.
So that would probably be the only way that you could even start to raise this question, right? I mean, is to go through that channel?
I think so.
I think at this point, yes. I can definitely sort of take a look and see if there's something in the works and try to have a better answer for you next week.
Well, it's also new, too, right? I mean, this is something where somebody's probably going to try. I mean, if a rancher loses, you know, five or ten head of cattle because of this, I mean, you're talking about a lot of money when you're talking about it. You're talking about over $10,000 if it gets into that point, if not more. So that's real problems. And I couldn't imagine that the courts or the politicians or representatives could just write that off and say, oopsies, sorry. I mean, I would have to think that would have to come up. So now let me pose this question. What do you see happening first? Do you see a court case or something like that happening from the loss of life? Or do you see, you know, a legal action being taken saying, okay, now you can hunt wolves like coyotes? What do you see? Which one of those do you see happening first?
I think you see the legal action first, and I think courts are going to have the same issue we're having in this conversation now of not knowing an answer, and it's probably that's another way it'll get to the legislature is judges not having an answer because this is the first time we're going to be seeing this.
Right, or what if you shoot a wolf accidentally thinking it's a coyote and then you're being prosecuted? That could be one way that would get into the legal system to help facilitate change. I do think that the safer action right now is to, again, reach out to your representative and kind of push that. In my understanding, when this came up, this was a big topic of conversation.
Right.
So it shouldn't be a surprise to our representatives that this is an issue that's already starting to happen.
Especially when it got passed on such razor-thin margins. I mean, I believe it was 51-49 last year that they passed this. And that's an issue when you have something that affects a certain group of people, when you have everybody voting on, that's a conversation probably for another time. But it's insane to me how this gets passed and gets on through there. But let's roll off of that question. When you are taking a case and stuff like that, do you look at obviously you have to look at past decisions, how you think that this is going to go. Have you had a case that is so new that maybe the courts haven't been able to? Has there's been no precedent set on this? Have you guys handled a case like that before?
I mean, there's always going to be some precedent, but the issue is then every case is going to be a little different. I mean, I can't speak for Havila. I helped write for a family law case, an appeal that went to the Court of Appeals, and then we won, and it went back. It was a Larimer County case, and so it's just fighting for your client and fighting for those issues, in my opinion.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
No, you're good.
It was glazing over.
Have you handled a case where there wasn't maybe a clear precedent set?
Yeah, and you know, you get those a lot more in civil cases than you do like in criminal cases, because criminal cases, since your constitutional rights are at issue, the courts are going to make decisions. On those civil cases, there's a lot more gray area, a lot more argument back and forth. So, you see that a lot on the civil side.
All right.
That's why Havila doesn't take civil cases anymore.
No, I'm done with those.
Yeah. So you handle civil cases?
I do. I have family civil cases, so like divorce, child custody.
Okay. And you handle the criminal?
Yes. Only handle criminal defense.
Because it fits your personality better? Because of what we just talked about with the president? Or how come you decided to make that decision?
Yeah, it definitely fits my personality better. I'm, I guess... I cannot think of the word right now, Tanner.
Good.
So if you could go ahead and fill in the blank. But I'm pretty aggressive.
Yes.
And I think that
I think you nailed that word.
And I think that personality is suited for a particular type of courtroom. And I really, really enjoy trial. And you're not going to go to trial unless you're in criminal cases. So, you know, that's my focus.
All right. That makes sense. All right. Let's get to a question here that we had come in. And again, if you've got questions, you can text them in 888-530-0043. Who's the most intimidating lawyer on the opposing side that you've had to go up against, and why is it that lawyer? Havila, we'll start with you.
So I'm going to respectfully dodge this question and tell you the lawyer.
Oh, you guys are lawyers. You're not politicians. I'm used to politicians dodging these answers, but go ahead.
There is a lawyer in town that if I see their name on the other side, I will not take the case. And since I'm specifically in criminal defense, I only work with prosecutors. And so this particular prosecutor, her name is Erin Clark, and she's very good, and I respect her very much. So if I ever see her name on a prosecution case, I don't take those cases.
All right. How about you, Taylor?
I was going to say the same thing. I know Aaron Clark is a very, very good attorney. I also practice criminal defense, not just family. But also on the civil side, I'm family friends with someone named Thea Carrasco. Mm-hmm. So I would, and I think she's an amazing attorney as well, so I would not.
Follow up question here. Do you start to establish rivalries between you and another lawyer?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
That's how Havel and I ended up in this room.
Do you keep records? You're like, okay, I'm 2-0 against this person. I'm 0-2 against them. Time to get on the right side of this winning streak.
I think most people would tell you no, but...
But you do?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't hold a grudge at all, do you?
All of us hold a grudge.
And I hate losing.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
I
pull back the curtain here.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here. Well, next week when we talk, guys, I want to talk about high-profile cases. I want to talk about, as we get into it too, you know, if you are getting pulled over on suspicion of a DUI, we've got so much to talk about, but we do need to get a break here. So, Havila, thank you so much. Taylor, thank you so much. Havila, where can people reach out to you if they are looking for a lawyer?
Sure. So you can find me at brunolilylegal.com or 720-340-1373.
And Taylor, Made Legal Services, I like the name, by the way. Your phone, 970-939-8366. Also, TaylorMadeLegal.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got you. I had them both pulled up, but I appreciate you guys coming in. Any final thoughts from you guys here on this Thursday morning?
Yeah, I'll just say if you are pulled over by the police, assert your Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. That is my parting words to all of you.
All right. I like it. And we're going to dive into that more next week. Really looking forward to it. Ladies, thank you so much for your time this morning. I thought it went really well. I'm looking forward to throughout this month doing this every single Thursday morning and educating the people as well as myself and my producer, who I said this is really for because he needs to stay out of legal action. That's just a joke for legal reasons. 10:31 the time. Let's go ahead and get to the bottom of the hour. News and Weather Center.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, hopefully you know now a little bit more of what to do and not to do. We're going to dive into some of those specifics with the Ask a Lawyer segments going forward. I'm personally intrigued. I don't know if I missed a calling, because I don't know if I would want to wear a suit every day, but I do look good in a suit. Okay, so that's got to come into factor there at some point. And I love to argue. Ryan, you could never be a lawyer.
No. No. And I have no desire to.
Yeah, good.
I don't think I'd be a good lawyer.
I don't either.
I'm not an argumentative.
You think
guy.
I could be a lawyer?
What was that?
You think I could be a lawyer?
Yeah.
You think I'm cold-hearted enough?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Well, we thank Taylor Meyer, Taylor Myers, and Havila Luis Bruno Lilly. Sounds like a law firm in all in one. When Havila said she's aggressive, try and sit in here and conduct this interview. I mean, she is intimidating as hell, but a great lawyer, both of them. So appreciate their time. All right, let's switch gears. Let's get into news for Northern Colorado. Colorado health officials say that the Omicron hospitalizations peak could come soon. We kind of figured this is what was going to happen, but hospitalizations tied to the Omicron could be peaking. At least that's what state health officials said the latest models are showing. But then again, there's so many damn models out there. Who the hell knows? As many as 1,577 persons are hospitalized with the virus. That's one more than the peak we saw in November. The state has been adding nearly 13,000 new cases each day over the past 7 days for now. COVID-19 incident commander. I love that title. The COVID-19 incident commander, Scott Bookman. How are we attacking this, Scott? I love that he's got this long title and then his name's Scott. Says ICU beds remain available, but hospitals are still strained. So I thought this was interesting, too, and was watching the news last night with Kyle Clark, one of our guests here on the program, and he was talking about, okay, maybe, and Chris Vanderveen echoed this, these guys follow it very closely, maybe hospitalizations aren't what we need to be looking for, because when talking with Colorado Department of Public Health and Environments and some of these other epidemiologists, they said that the hospitalization rates are, and this is, I don't know why this is news, we're just finding out, and it irritates the crap out of me, but the hospitalization rates aren't just people with COVID. If Ryan goes in with a broken arm and then they test him for COVID and he's got COVID, they're quarantining him anyways. Why are we just now learning this? The number that we had been told to watch the hospitalizations. If people are going into the hospital with COVID, that is a total bunch of malarkey. So now, you know, what number do we watch? I know one that a lot of people are turning to and looking at is the hospital capacity and how much availability that they do have. But there's an asterisk on that as well about, well, is that because of staffing shortages? And I guess at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. If they don't have any beds, they don't have any beds. All right, continuing on. News from Northern Colorado. Louisville Hospital reopens after seeing smoke damage from the Marshall Fire. This is the fire that ravaged 1,000 homes and businesses just before the new year. The hospital was largely unscathed, but it did require a deep professional cleaning due to smoke damage. Hospital executives say all air filtration systems have been replaced, and extensive air and water quality testing show the facility is fit for safe operations. A dozen of Avista's employees lost their homes in the fire. Hospital owner Centura Health has provided them with temporary housing, financial assistance, and paid time off to deal with the loss. So I'm glad that the hospital is taking that, but it's also really good that this is back open and going, because this was something that we knew was going to be an issue. You get COVID peaking about this time, and then you have this fire take place. Really good that they are reopening and moving forward. Look at this. This doesn't happen very often. Let's go back-to-back good stories here in news for Northern Colorado. Graduation rates in the Greeley-Evans School District are on the rise. That's what we like to hear. Weld County's largest school district for the fourth consecutive year has reported an increase in graduation rates. Data from the State Department of Education showed graduation rates in the Greeley-Evans School District topping 84%, according to the Greeley Tribune. The state average is just under 82%, which marked the first drop in over a decade. You can find more at thegreeleytribune.com. But seeing that steady rise, that is really good news. And hey, tip of the hat to all those teachers that are in there making sure this works and making sure people can still get in and learn even throughout the pandemic. And when your graduation rates go up during the pandemic and everything that these teachers have had to do, that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. And kudos to the teachers. Continuing on, this from 9news.com. Why there's no monthly child tax credit check coming this week. For the first time in 6 months, there will be no $250 to $300 checks coming to parents to help pay the bills. First of all, did you know this was still going on? I certainly did not. I missed this one. But tens of millions of Americans receive monthly advanced child tax credit payments for the second half of 2021. Those checks landed in bank accounts and mailboxes on or around the 15th of each month. But as January 15th arrives this Saturday, there will be no check from the IRS coming to families for the first time since July. And as of now, there does not appear to be much urgency, at least publicly, for Congress to get it restarted. And there shouldn't be. This is part of the reason that we are not able to get people to go and work. That $300 that you're getting, well, that's how many shifts is that at working at your local restaurant? How many is that that's covering? Where, okay, maybe I don't have to pick that up this month. The American Rescue Plan, passed in March of 2021, increased the annual child tax credit to $3,600 for children under the age of 6 and $3,000 for kids age 6 to 17. From July through December 2021, eligible Americans were allowed to receive up to half the money in the form of monthly payments, $300 for kids under 6 and $250 for children 6 to 17. They were also eligible to opt out of some or all the payments and potentially take the full amount when they file their taxes. So why did this come to an end? Well, the increased tax credit and advance payments expired at the end of 2021. The House passed a one-year extension as part of the $2 trillion Build Back Better domestic and environmental bill in November. But with no Republican votes in the 50-50 Senate and with Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, that went down in flames. So that's why this has not happened, and that's why it continues to look like there won't be. And again, I think this is a good thing. We have the opportunities for people to get back to work. I get balancing a child in your life and still going to work is a difficult thing, but I know that you are able, that people are able to do it. People are able to go and manage both. And if you're not, then that maybe was a conversation you should have had before you had your child. Chief of Westminster Fire Department to retire after 43 years of service. Doug Hall informed City Council on Monday that he will be retiring after his 43 years. Hall, who has served as the fire chief for the last 10 years, will retire on July 3rd, 2022. So still some time for them to find the new person and get him into place. Westminster Fire Department said under Hall's leadership, the department was given an ISO Class 1 rating, the Center for Public Safety's Excellence highest accreditation. Less than 300 agencies have received an ISO Class 1 accreditation nationally. One last thing that I wanted to get to here, small grocery stores expect an uptick in business during King Soopers' strike. Something positive coming out of it, I suppose. For some, the grocery chain is the only market in their neighborhood. For others, it may give shoppers an opportunity to explore other markets in their area. Are there any locally owned grocery stores still here in Greeley and in the northern Colorado area? I mean, the only one that I can think of right now, and it's got, there's a couple, I guess. I guess there's one in Johnstown, can't think of the Hayes Market, and Heritage Market in Eaton. There's a couple of those locally owned ones. But in Greeley, I don't believe there is a locally owned grocery store. The King Soopers strike is expected to have this impact on Colorado communities. Something in talking with Mornings with Gale host Gale Fallon yesterday, too. Let's, you know, here in northern Colorado, we're like, these idiots down in Denver. And, well, here in Greeley in northern Colorado, their contract expires around February, right around there. So we could be dealing with that up here as well. I would love to see them come in, May Zoo said. Zoo manages the Park Hill supermarket. The wholesale and grocery store sells a lot of Asian products, but they also stock these essential items most households look for. So right now, I know with those strikes, I know a lot of customers say there are a lot of departments closed for them. When they go in, the shelves are empty, she explained. But for us, we still have full supply. We're doing wholesale, but a lot of things we have are fully stocked. I know a lot of people are asking the question today, and I think it's an interesting one. Are you crossing picket lines to shop at King Soopers? Is because of this King Soopers strike, are you not going to support King Soopers now, or are you still going to shop there? I certainly, if you heard yesterday's show, will still be shopping at King Soopers. That is news for Northern Colorado. A lot of stuff going on. Let's get a quick look before we take a break here. Let's get a quick look at where our poll question currently sits. Do you think the release of wolves back into Colorado was a good decision or bad? 62% of people are saying bad. 38% of people are saying good. So if this would have been, if we could just take the votes from this poll and reintroduce the bill, it's going down in flames. And I think that's what happened is that people didn't pay close enough attention of exactly what was going to be taking place when this bill came in. And by the way, you know, I give real short yes or no answers. I know people don't have a lot of time on the poll question. Please, if you have more thoughts, text lines open. Hotline's open. My replies are open on Twitter. So instead of complaining about me not having a third option on there, for people that are like, I didn't know, you're the people I'm talking about. Go ahead and send a reply back instead of just complaining that there's not a reply. There's options. Shut it. All right. I want to say thanks to Method Flow Products out of Eaton. They are big supporters of the oil and gas industry, and they want it done in a safe and reasonable and smart way. The way that they do that is provide products that are safe and reasonable to these oil and gas industries. That's what they do. And they're really, really darn good at it. It's Method Flow Products in Eaton. All right, 10:48 the time. Let's go ahead and get a break. We'll come back on the other side, get to what's going on around Northern Colorado today and tomorrow. We'll set up tomorrow's show as well as get to the headline that caught our eye. Hopefully Ryan's got a good one back there. We'll be looking forward to it. Don't turn that dial. I want to lay it at your
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in here. Let's just put a little bow on our poll question today. Got a text here. The Wolf vote was skewed by the people of Denver and Boulder. The rest of the state voted no. I think we should respect the will of the folks that voted in favor and release wolves on the front range of Denver and Boulder so they can enjoy them. I said the same thing. I mean, I'm joking, kind of. But that these people need to understand, right? They need to understand the impacts this has everywhere else. And in such a divided state, where, you know, here in Northern Colorado, you've got a big agricultural community. In the mountains, they're dealing with their own set of issues up there, right? You got the Denver metro area. You got Pueblo still exist? Is that still out there? Yeah, you still got Pueblo down there doing whatever they do in Pueblo, mostly drugs. And then you got the Eastern Plains, where it's a lot of farming. It's such a diverse group of interests. And how do you get that to shine through? I'm not sure, but it certainly did not in the Wolf vote. Let's get to the headline that caught our eye.
All right. This is the Rocky Mountain Way. Colorado deputy captures loose horse, rides it home. This came out today.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
This deputy just like, hey, there's a horse. I'm going to park my car. Okay, obviously, did it have a saddle on? It had to have had a saddle on. Tell me he barebacked this thing back into town.
I think he might have barebacked it.
No way. You know how difficult that is?
Pretty difficult.
Very difficult. Yes, yes, you're correct in that. Nice job on the Rocky Mountain Way music coming back in, too. Well done to you on that. Where was this horse at?
It was in Arapahoe County. I guess they got a call that a horse was just kind of run along the side of the road, and this deputy, he was like, nope, and climbed up on top of it and rode it back to safety.
This might be my new favorite story. I love this. It's incredibly difficult to get on a horse without a saddle, period, but also, I'm knocking things over here. I'm so excited. But also, the fact that this thing was it was loose. You know it had to be frightened. You know it was jumpy. And yet he got on there and said, ain't no problem.
Ain't no problem. I guess he was about to cross a four-lane major roadway, too. So good thing he got there when he did. Otherwise, it could have been.
Oh, the horse was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the horse.
I thought you meant like the officer's just going to stop traffic and just go. Yeah. I-25 just shut down. Yeah. Why? Well, there's a deputy riding a horse across there. Where did he take it to? Did he know where it was missing from? That's a whole nother issue. Like, it's impressive as hell that he even got on the horse.
Yeah.
And got to that point. But a whole new can of worms gets open when you're on there and like, where am I taking it? You just take him to the police department, park him next where your car would normally be? What do you do in this situation?
I guess they went 2.5 miles. He rode him for 2.5 miles all the way back to the owner's house. Yeah. And I guess they had an escort too.
Somebody must have called in and reported it missing.
Yeah.
Okay. So he knew where to go with it. Okay. That makes sense. That's still 2.5 miles on a horse. If it was bareback on loose horse, that's impressive. tip of the hat there to that guy. That's the headline that caught our eye. Coming up next, you'll have Clark and the Coach with Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick talking high school athletics. 12 to 2, you'll have the whole show with Brady Hull. Brady will give you thoughts on the Denver Broncos coaching search as it continues on, as well as reaction from the CSU men's basketball game last night. Yeah, I had a minus 6. They won by 5, so my $25 down the drain. Then from 3 to 5, you'll have the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. And then finally, at 5 o'clock, it'll be the College Basketball Tip-Off Show with Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan. You'll have Brady Hull on there as well for that one. So that will be a bunch of fun. If you missed any of our show today, please check it out. It's on our website, 1310kfka.com, our Facebook page, at NoCo Now, Twitter, at Tanner Schwint. There's so many ways that you can find this. Thanks to our CRP 4x4 VIP guests as well. Miles Bloomhart, very happy birthday to you. And for Havila, Luis, Bruno, Lily, and Taylor Myers for joining us for Ask a Lawyer segment. Get those questions ready. Tomorrow, last thing here, it's a feel-good Friday. We're back to it. We'll have Jerry Schimmel at 9:05. We will have Cody Wilson with Denver and Front Range Weather at 9:35. Second hour, Brady Hull, Brian Gary, myself. We're going to be tackling movie trivia tomorrow. Don't miss it. And we'll have a special question. You could win a $20 gift card to the tavern at St. Michael Square. For Ryan Kelly, I'm Tanner Schwint. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.